It's a messy and uncomfortable place to be with a whole host of unanswered questions. But you and your business and your clients will all benefit from what you're doing right now. Rolling up your sleeves, being curious, trying, learning, and doing the not-so-glamorous day-to-day work of a business owner. As a Catholic CEO, have you struggled to grow your business while also growing in virtue? In this podcast, Christina Brzezinski, that's me, from Stella Maris Marketing, talks about marketing, branding, business strategy, business ethics, and leadership. As a Catholic marketing director with over 15 years of experience, I understand the unique challenges you face as you build your Catholic company. Join the conversation every Tuesday, where creativity and strategy meet beauty and tradition. Happy Easter. I hope you had a wonderful Easter Sunday with your family and you're enjoying the whole Easter octave. And since we're in the Easter season and now feasting, if you want to enjoy feasting without binging, you have got to check out my former client Beth Bubick, the Catholic Fasting Coach. She has a great blog post and podcast episode about this from last year, and she's getting ready to launch her new book, Delay and Pray. This is episode number 7, Marketing Through the Messy Middle. So our branding and our marketing, it can change and evolve over time. And as we're going through that process, it can feel messy and uncomfortable. We find ourselves marketing through that messy middle. I was talking with a client about this recently, and she said, I know businesses go through changes and pivoting is not uncommon. But when it seems like it's happening with my business, and she followed that by saying she had so many thoughts and questions she didn't want or need to follow at the moment. If you're feeling that same discomfort and have similar thoughts and questions, you're going to love this episode. Back when I was in a women's entrepreneurial leadership course during my MBA program, lifestyle businesses were a huge new trend, basically all the rage. And my professor, a successful entrepreneur herself, and friends with many successful entrepreneurs, was so excited about this new trend. People were sharing selfies on Instagram of working from the beach, photos of working from a stunning tropical resort one week, and then the very next week, working from a beautiful ski resort. In short, they made entrepreneurship look so glamorous, like it was always fun and super effortless. And it can be glamorous, it can be fun, and it can be effortless at times. But other times, it can be messy. Life isn't always super easy and straightforward, and neither is business or marketing. I really wish that this was talked about more often, so that when entrepreneurs and business owners do feel like they're struggling or just working through that messy middle, they know it's probably not them or their business or their team. Sometimes it really is just part of the process. I also wish more encouragement and solutions were provided, and that's what this episode is all about. As you go through this process, you're trying different things, you're experimenting, or you're at least accepting that discomfort of leading and changing and growing your business. Maybe you're not getting traction in this one area over here, or not the traction you wanted, but you've been experimenting with this other thing that you're really enthusiastic about and people are super interested in it. So you've given some workshops and you even have professional acquaintances and contacts supporting you. And you decide to explore this new aspect of your business even further. You're pivoting, evolving your messaging, exploring unforeseen opportunities and possibilities. You know this is normal and businesses do it all the time. But it's a big deal to you because it's your business. Well, I want to congratulate you. You've taken at least the first few steps, if not many steps, towards success. And why do I say congratulations for undertaking a messy, uncomfortable, and experimental process? Well, you've walked through the doors to a wealth of learning about your clients, about yourself, and about your business. You've accepted the opportunity to grow in all kinds of virtue, letting God's grace perfect your nature. You're collecting data and evidence. You're building habits that will be so helpful now and well into the future. You're doing what you need to do to get those building blocks of success in place, and you're building good relationships with the people you want to serve. You also haven't given in to the temptation for shortcuts. Those shortcuts can be so tempting, and they can come in all different shapes, colors, sizes, sparkles, whatever. Maybe you did eye them or wished that they weren't too good to be true, but you've chosen to grow as a person and as a business owner, and this will help you reach success more than any shiny, sparkly, but ultimately deceptive shortcut. Yes, it's a messy and uncomfortable place to be with a whole host of unanswered questions, but you and your business and your clients will all benefit from what you're doing right now. Rolling up your sleeves, being curious, trying, learning, and doing the not-so-glamorous day-to-day work of a business owner. You may be wondering, can I stay sane and maybe even enjoy this process? Yes, you definitely can. And I have a number of steps and stories to share with you, and each of these steps can be thought of as a mini-solution. Combined, you have a great solution for how to work through that messy middle as your business grows, and your messaging and branding can change and evolve. These steps are in no particular order, and there are a couple of reasons for that. One, you may be doing some of these and you want to just add more to what you're already doing. Two, you may feel more motivated or excited to try certain ones. And there's a lot of business advice out there, and even in this podcast. But as a business owner, it's up to you what you pick and choose to follow. Some of these steps are going to feel more doable to you than others, and while I try to follow all of these steps myself, I also can fluctuate between emphasizing certain ones at different times, and I want to respect your freedom to do the same thing. So let's dive into these steps. The first one is small, consistent actions. It's this consistency that will lead to success. Small, consistent actions build the habits, really the virtues, to take advantage of larger opportunities when they do come along. They're also what you have control over. You have much less control over a big-time influencer promoting you, landing a guest spot on a huge podcast show, or getting a glowing article about your business in a national outlet. Plus, these small, consistent actions actually help you work your way up to those bigger opportunities. Put another way, the small consistent actions can open the doors to those bigger wins. People who focus on the big wins without taking the small consistent actions usually end up cycling through these feast or famine cycles, which are really stressful and discouraging. And the more that goes on, the more stressful and discouraging it can get. I want you to know that by taking small consistent actions, you're actually on the right track to success. So the next one is symbolic actions. Sometimes we can't even see far enough ahead to like really see two steps ahead. All we can do is just put one foot in front of the other. And as we're getting started, all we can do is really take some small baby steps. And sometimes they can feel so small that they feel like they're just symbolic. But oftentimes, that's the best place to start. And you take one symbolic action and then another. One person who I used to follow, Michael Hyatt, he has the Full Focus Planner, and he shared how one time he was starting a project, and the very first day of working on the project, all he did was pull out the paper file folder, label it, and stick it in his filing cabinet, and that was how he got started on the project. But by the end of the year, he had accomplished this huge new project that he had never done before. But it all started with what's basically a symbolic action. To give you an idea of how this can work with something even bigger. So when the Legion first got started, they hadn't named it the Legion of Mary yet. It was just a group of people who had read St. Louis-Marie de Montfort's Total Devotion to Jesus Through Mary, and they were trying to figure out how do we live out our total consecration. And so they start looking around the city of Dublin, which is where the Legion got started, looking to see like what was needed, where was God needed, basically. And everyone knew of this really large red light district in Dublin that was so dangerous that even the police wouldn't enter it. It was basically like a no man's land. Anybody who was slightly respectable stayed far away from it. But they started thinking about all of the souls being lost inside that red light district, and they decided that they would try to evangelize to everyone who was either living and working in that area or who was going there. The problem was, though, because even the police didn't go into the red light district, these legionaries didn't know anything about it. And they were also scared because it was very dangerous. So they decided that to get started, they would have two legionaries, they always work in pairs, go into the red light district on a Friday night and just walk down the main street and then walk back out. And basically, it was a recon mission. And so the night came, the two legionaries that they selected were people who didn't have any family obligations. They had all their paperwork in order. They went to confession. Basically, they prepared to die because they really had no idea what would happen. But they went in there and they walked down that main street and then they came back out and they reported back to the rest of the group. And then the next week, they went back in and walked down the main street. But the first time they noticed that there was like another big street that intersected with the main street. So they also walked down that street too, and then walked back out. And then the third time they went in, and this group of legionaries were thinking about how, okay, well, the police don't go there. The civil authorities really don't have any authority in this area just because it's functioning on its own. So there has to be, like when you have a group of people, there is some sort of hierarchy. So there has to be some type of person who's in charge. So I think it was the third time that they went into the red light district. They tried to figure out like who's in charge, like who really keeps tabs, basically who was the informal mayor. And that's how they got started. But within 3 years, that red light district was completely cleaned out. The girls and the young women who were working there, they had like left that field, if you want to call it that, and they were living good Catholic lives. Many of them had gotten married. The men were no longer going there. All of the gambling, the drinking, all of that other stuff, all of that was gone. And in addition to that, because the whole area had been cleaned up, another fruit of it was that they were able to use all of the housing that was in that area. So at the time, Dublin was experiencing a housing crisis. And now suddenly, like a whole new neighborhood opened up for residents to use as housing. It all got started with just that one simple recon mission. So symbolic actions, even though they can feel really small at the time, they can lead to huge changes and amazing things. Now, I love to travel. One summer, I traveled to 9 different countries over 3 months, and it was amazing. And shortly after that trip, I learned of this G.K. Chesterton quote, "The traveler sees what he sees, the tourist sees what he has come to see." And this can actually apply to our marketing too. We can either go in with a predetermined mindset and really commit the fallacy of confirmation bias, or we can go in and we can be curious, explore, ask questions, really have more of a traveler mindset rather than a tourist mindset. And a part of this too is that can sometimes be hard for us is we have to put aside our ego. We have to ask those questions, explore, be curious. And as you're taking those small, consistent actions and the symbolic actions, be really curious about where God is leading you and looking for feedback from your audience and from your key market. And just be open to where God's leading you in your business and give yourself permission to have fun exploring. And then there's community. Starting a business and growing a business is so hard, and it's really helpful to have community. A community provides support, encouragement, and resources. And it can come in all kinds of forms. It could be masterminds, coaching programs, even just a really good friend. It could also be accountability partners. So when I'm talking about accountability partners, this is really about staying focused on your business and making progress on the actions that you say that you're going to take. And one really important way to help you stay sane is prayer and especially the communion of saints and relying on your saintly advisors for your business and really developing those relationships with each of your saintly advisors, asking for their intercessory prayers too. So starting and growing a business can be really hard, and the business itself can seem like it's almost a mirror that's showing us our vulnerabilities, our weaknesses, our flaws. And we also can get stuck when we're working toward goals. This is really where mindset coaching can be so valuable. You can coach yourself through journaling, or you can work with a coach. And I like to think of mindset coaching as, like, I'm from Michigan, so driving in the winter, unfortunately, sometimes your car can slide off the wintry road into a snowdrift. And mindset coaching is that kind person who comes along with the cardboard, the cat litter, shovels, and some muscle to help get your car out of the snowdrift. One thing, too, that people really overlook but is so important is recreation and relaxation. I think a lot of people who do start businesses are people who really do enjoy working, and sometimes we can end up working too much, and we're not actually growing in the virtue of eutropalia, the virtue of right recreation. I always like when I hear someone talk about this virtue, how they'll say it's the virtue of right recreation, but then they also like intentionally mispronounce it and say recreation. And this is really important. So just please don't work yourself into the ground. Sometimes all we need to re-energize or to get a new perspective is a little bit of recreation. As you're going through this messy middle and you're taking these small, consistent actions, you're being curious. A part of this process, too, is really looking for feedback from your market, paying close attention to that feedback in all its forms. And it could be what people are buying, what they're not buying, or when they're buying. It could be the questions that people have. It could be the requests that they have. It could also be their testimonials or constructive feedback. And it could even be their levels of excitement and enthusiasm. All of this feedback gives you the data and evidence to inform your intelligent decisions for moving forward. And this is actually an important part that will help get you out of the messy middle. As you're taking these small, consistent actions and you're paying attention to your market and that feedback, it's also a lot easier to make small changes and course corrections based on that feedback. And the small, consistent actions will help inform when you do have to make bigger decisions and take bigger steps, because you've been collecting this data all along the way, and you've also been building those virtues all along the way. And let's face it, sometimes a bigger step must be taken. It's time to launch that new podcast. It's time to launch the new website. It's time to launch that new coaching program. Another thing that can be really helpful as we're marketing through the messy middle is a different perspective. And this isn't always gained from mindset coaching or recreation. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that is wise hearkeneth unto counsels." Basically, the fool seeks his own counsel, but the wise seeks counsel from others. And sometimes we can get a fresh perspective from a friend, from your husband, fellow entrepreneur, or a professional colleague. And sometimes it's just a 5-minute conversation that creates a huge and much needed shift in perspective. So who are those people who provide you with wise counsel, and make a list of them for your easy reference? And as you're going through this whole process, learning is really important. And it could be informal learning, it could be formal, it could be trainings, reading, practicing, certifications, even just paying attention to all that feedback and the results that you're getting From your small, consistent actions, there are so many options for learning, but really taking it all in as appropriate to your situation. And another thing is measuring your progress. It's because as we're working through that messy middle, it can feel like it's not going to end. It can feel maybe sometimes even a little swampy. So measuring progress is especially important. And this gives you feedback on what you're accomplishing. And even seeing those small accomplishments along the way can provide a lot of encouragement. And there are different ways to track and measure that progress. It could be a habit tracker. It could be a project to-do list that you're checking off. It could be a number of great contacts that you've made. It could be key benchmarks along the way. And then also celebrating that progress. We love to celebrate success, but celebrating progress can be just as important. And however you're measuring your progress, that's data too. And so even if you feel like you're not getting anywhere, you have hard evidence demonstrating your accomplishments and your progress toward your larger goals. Remembering too that God, He doesn't judge us on our results, He judges us on our effort. So we can offer Him our efforts every day and put the results in His hands. And that really helps take a lot of pressure off of ourselves too, so that we don't feel weighed down by that pressure and we have more energy and we're able to be more creative. Also, by offering our efforts to God and putting the results in His hands, that's part of having a virtuous money mindset too. And as we're going through that messy middle, it can feel, as I said before, sometimes a bit discouraging or uncomfortable, and it can be helpful to know what motivates you. So the MCODE assessment or your temperaments can tell you, like, give you guidance on what motivates you, and then really incorporate your motivations into your daily work. And the word emote literally means move out. So it's a really simplified explanation of the process. But our emotions lead to our actions and our thoughts create our emotions. So if we're able to create the right emotions to motivate the actions that we want, we're going to be doing a whole lot better. I've already used one Greek word, eutropelia. Now I'm going to use another one, eudaimonia. And you've probably heard of a flow state or being in the zone. I used to play softball and I come from a baseball family, so I'll hear a lot about batters who are in the zone and they're just hitting home runs or doubles like very consistently and their batting average is super high because they're in the zone. But the Greek word eudaimonia is so much richer than those other phrases of like flow state or being in the zone. And eudaimonia, it means engaging in an activity that energizes you and gives you joy. So focusing on these types of activities as much as possible and delegate the other items or find ways to make them easier for you and more enjoyable. Another tool that can be really helpful, especially in this area, is understanding your working genius, which is created by the Table Group. And the working genius highlights 6 different types of working genius. And the way it was explained to me is that the tool is like 80% productivity and 20% personality. So it really focuses more on engaging in activity that energizes and gives you joy. And the very last, but probably most important piece, is accepting the discomfort. It's probably a lot easier said than done, I admit that. So I'll share my experience a little bit with suffering, and discomfort is a minor form of suffering. So the first thing I'll do is if I have a small discomfort or a minor suffering, I'll thank God for it first, and then I offer it to our Blessed Mother. And I found that thanking God for it first is really helpful, and it's my way of accepting and embracing whatever cross I have, no matter how small it is or how big it is. And it's only after I've truly accepted it that then I can turn around and give it to our Blessed Mother. And the other thing I'll share is that when things feel weird, and I'm really sorry because I wish I had a better description here, but when things feel weird, like I know that I'm either fighting the cross or I'm not carrying it right. And God has custom fit our crosses to each of our shoulders. And Christ said that His yoke is easy and His burden is light, Matthew 11:30. So if I notice that something is really wearing me down, I examine if I'm fighting or not carrying it well, or if I need to ask for and accept help with carrying it. And all of these steps come together to really be an important part of discerning your way forward in your business. When people try to play hopscotch and jump over these steps, that's when they'll really start running into problems. So please know that you're on the right track and you're getting to grow in humility, fortitude, prudence, and so many other virtues, and you are laying the groundwork for your success. This is the messy middle, but when you get through it, you may even be amazed by the results. So now we're ready for the quick action tip. And normally, the quick action tips are super practical from a logical perspective, but today's tip is different. Because we're talking about keeping going when things are messy and we're figuring it all out, and our business is changing on us, instead of looking at this from a really logical perspective, we'll look at the quick action tip from a motivation perspective, because we do want to keep moving. So what step felt the most exciting and motivating to you? Is it taking a small consistent action, taking a symbolic action, relying on community, recreation and relaxation, a new perspective, tracking and celebrating progress, eudaimonia, focusing on the activities that energize you and give you joy, or maybe one of the other steps? So select the one or two that feel the most exciting and motivating to you, and start incorporating it into your daily routine as much as possible. Remember that what you're going through is totally normal. It's a normal part of the entrepreneurial and business journey. And if you persevere, you will reach that point where things become clearer and easier and you're out of the messy middle. And if one of the steps you'd like to focus on is coaching, remember you can sign up for free coaching with me through Metanoia Catholic. The link is in the show description. And if you have marketing questions, please send in your questions to the email address in the show description. Have a blessed Easter week. Thank you for listening to this episode of Marketing Your Catholic Business Podcast. I invite you to share this with a fellow Catholic business owner today and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. See you next week.